reminded them of the harsh laws of Eve, of the beatings, the rapes, the murders. According to Randolphus, he had stoked the fires of their anger and indignation. Then he asked them if they would let anyone or anything force them back to that life. That wasn't all, though. Isabella had joined him in addressing the crowd. She had shared some of the stories of the indignities she had suffered. She had told the other villagers about how Richter had rescued her. She had spoken about how he sent her to safety when Ronan had attacked the fleeing party and had stayed behind to fight. She pointed out other villagers who had been captives and asked if their freedom was worth fighting for. She had asked the loved ones of the former captives if they would fight to make sure their families weren't torn apart again. Then she had simply asked them if they would fight for the man who had offered them the right to choose their own fates. Randolphus told him that although Tirad had fired up the villagers, it was at the end of Isabella's speech that every villager was on their feet and shouting Richter's name. Tirad had to restrain many of the villagers from immediately running out of the village to search for their lord. The crowd had apparently shouted in fury and fervor for long minutes until they could be calmed. Afterwards, more than 100 villagers were clamoring to sign up for the militia. Randolphus had interviewed all of them and found that while almost 60 people had been going to fight to preserve the safety of the village after Tirad had spoken, those numbers had more than doubled after Isabella's speech. Since then, the forges had been going into overdrive to equip those who agreed to serve. Tirad had also been able to convince almost everyone who had agreed to serve in the militia to swear fealty to the village and its master. Richter smiled when Randolphus related that part. It would make what he had planned much easier. He still wasn't sure exactly what being a companion entailed, but whatever it meant, Tirad and Sion had been indispensable in Richter's rise to power. Tirad's camaraderie ability was amazing. The story also explained to Richter why the loyalty of the village as a whole had gone up by +20 after he had completed Isabella's quest. Sion and Tirad had wandered in while Randolphus was talking, but hadn't wanted to interrupt. Richter rose and embraced them both, though, and they joined him at the table. At that point in Randolphus's story, Tirad spoke up and told Richter that he had formed 9 scout groups of 5 people each. He had chosen the party number based on the fact that any more would decrease the amount of experience gathered from fighting. No group was allowed far from the village by itself, though. Tirad looked at Richter with a serious expression and described some of the dangerous animals and monsters that had been seen in and out of the mists. Mountain lions, cave bears, giant spiders and vampire bats were just a few of the predators that had started to be seen in the lands around the village. Tirad told Richter that almost everyone who had had their magic awakened had agreed to serve. None of the children were allowed to join the scout groups, of course, magic or no. As it was, the adult air mages were too few to have one in each scout group. Tirad's solution was to cycle them out. Each was mostly in the groups for support, seeing as how they had almost no offensive spells. Tirad also told him that everyone in the militia trained for a portion of each day, whether they were scouting, guarding, or fulfilling other duties. Apparently, Isabella had been contributing as well. Tirad being kidnapped had snapped her out of the well of misery she had been in. He told Richter that the fear she experienced proved stronger than the emotional pain her sexual enslavement had caused. Randolphus had to have her physically restrained to stop her from running after Tirad on her own after Richter left. She had taken charge of the herb garden near the quickening with a vengeance. In the last week, it had tripled in size. She had a natural ability with plants and an advanced herb lore skill. She had also organized groups to scour the forest for useful plants. Tirad reported that Isabella was requesting that an herb shed be constructed. The building would apparently allow her to dry and treat harvested herbs, increasing their potency and longevity. Richter nodded to Randolphus, who made a notation. Basil, Czar, and Sumiko filtered in. Richter greeted each in turn. Randolphus was about to start on the next item, but Richter asked about the ships anchored outside of the village.
"That actually ties into what we needed to discuss next, my lord," Randolphus said. "I will let Basil describe what transpired."
"It was an interesting
trip, my lord, the man said. Then he told his story. Outside of navigating a section of turbulent river, the trip back to Leaf's Crossing had been uneventful for Richter's emissary. The sailors had apparently been happy to be gone from the village. Though they had not been in any direct danger, they too had seen dangerous animals and monsters the closer they got to the mists. The ship had eased into the harbor at Leaf's Crossing, and Basil had carried his precious cargo of potions of clarity amidst a few other boxes of trade goods. Basil recounted that the idea of having hundreds of pieces of gold hidden on his body, while he also carried items worth hundreds more, had stressed him out to no end. He knew that he had been any thief's wet dream, and so he had paid 10 tough-looking sailors to accompany him while he was in Leaf's Crossing. Basil had considered it a worthwhile expense to put the sailors up in the inn as well. With such a guard detail, Basil told him that he had arrived at the Whistling Hen with no difficulty. Basil gave a wide smile at that point and thanked Richter profusely for recommending that particular inn. Richter smiled back knowingly, remembering exactly how friendly the women there could be. Basil continued his story. Rosie, the proprietor of the inn, had told Basil that no one resembling the contact Richter had described had been to the bar. He then said that he planned to simply wait as long as necessary and, in the meantime, spent the time relaxing and buying supplies. Rosie apparently had other ideas. The tough woman had pulled Basil to the side almost immediately. Rosie had not forgotten the ships of non-humans that had stopped in Leaf's Crossing before sailing to a better life with Richter. Apparently neither had many of the townsfolk. Since Richter had left almost a month before, a long line of hopeful people of all races had formed. They all wanted to emigrate to the Mist Village. To be exact, another 163 people wanted to join. Richter looked at the man sharply, but let him continue. When Basil saw he wasn't going to be interrupted, he explained that his initial feeling had been one of caution and alarm as well. Before he left for Leaf's Crossing, though, Richter had told him that Rosie could be trusted. In light of that, Basil agreed to at least speak to each of the potential immigrants. Rosie had helped him to coordinate the interviews. Over the next several days, Basil had conducted interviews. To make the process easier, he had hired the services of 2 professed scholars. He apologized to Richter that their services hadn't come cheap. Richter didn't mind or care about a little overhead cost, but he was confused about what exactly a scholar was. Seeing his lord's questioning expression, Basil explained that the 2 scholars had various administrative talents. Between the 2 of them, the men he had hired possessed the talents of association, perfect scribing, still image, knowledge tablet, copying, and, most importantly, confidential. Seeing that Richter looked even more confused and was also starting to look a bit annoyed, Basil quickly explained further. Association let the scholar recognize patterns and then organize large amounts of data in the most efficient manner. The perfect scribing talent was just as it sounded. The scholar could write with perfect penmanship such that anyone who read his work would know exactly what he was trying to impart. Richter was about to ask why a talent like that would matter, but then he remembered how a lot of doctors wrote. The chicken scratch that health professionals called handwriting was a travesty. Richter was convinced that people died in hospitals because of it. When you factored in that many people in the land were illiterate, the few who could write most likely had a wide variability in how they formed their words. Being able to know what someone had meant to say when you read it would actually be worth quite a bit. Basil continued to explain that the copying talent let a scribe fully duplicate a letter or parchment in every detail. As long as they had enough parchment and ink, they could use their mana to immediately make another copy of what they had in front of them, down to the last ink blotch. Basil added that he had heard the talent could be leveled to be able to copy scrolls, skill books, or even spell books, but that was beyond the abilities of the scribes in Leaf's Crossing. Those advanced talents were also apparently prohibitively expensive. Basil didn't even try to explain the still image and knowledge tablet talents, but instead just handed over a heavy piece of wood with a smile.
The wood was about 2 feet in height and width and 1 inch thick. It was sanded smooth and then lacquered brown, except for a white stone in one corner. When Richter pressed the stone, a picture of a gruff-looking gnome appeared in the corner of the wood, and a list of information was written in the common tongue right next to it. Richter almost dropped the item in shock. He suddenly felt like he was looking at an iPad. He stared at the knowledge tablet in wonder. Once again, he had to remind himself to abandon his preconceptions. He often thought of people in the land as medieval yokels with their kings and swords, yet in his hand he held proof that his perception was at least not universally true. Through magic, these people had achieved a result that had taken thousands of years of Earth's science to create. Richter ran his hand over the wood, and the picture and information changed. He realized he was holding the equivalent of a PowerPoint presentation that showed detailed information regarding each of the people Basil had interviewed.
"You have reviewed this, I assume?" Richter asked Randolphus.
"I have, my lord. The knowledge tablet is a valuable tool, and the information gathered upon it was most informative."
"Can you add more information to it?" he asked Basil.
I cannot, but a scholar with the appropriate talent could."
Richter nodded, still enthralled by what he was holding.
"And what about the last talent, confidential?"
That is what makes scholars truly valuable, my lord. Every guild scholar takes the confidential talent first. It makes it literally impossible for them to betray the confidence of their employer. Even in the face of torture, a scholar cannot in any way violate the terms of their contract. So if you tell them to never reveal the information they have been given access to, the magic of their profession ensures that your secrets remain safe."
"Man!" Richter exclaimed. "I wish you could have brought one of those scholars back with you."
Basil exhaled a loud sigh of relief.
"I am so happy you feel that way, my lord."
Richter's eyes narrowed a bit, suddenly feeling like the other shoe was about to drop.
"Why? Why are you so relieved?"
It might be best if I just finish telling you about what happened in Leaf's Crossing, my lord."
Richter looked at him side-eyed for a second, then just slowly said, "Uh-huh. Go ahead."
Yes, well, as I was saying..."
Basil talked about how he commandeered a table in the corner of the Whistling Hen over the next few days. Prospective villagers would come up singly or as a family, and then he would interview them. One scribe would take down all of their info, and the other would record their image and then compile all of the information on the knowledge tablet. Basil said that all of the people he had spoken to seemed to be honest and were simply looking for a better life. Most were non-human, but there were humans that just wanted a change. One thing that had surprised Basil was that not all of them were from Leaf's Crossing. Richter's name was now becoming known. Richter wasn't sure how he felt about that. The more attention he brought on himself and the Mist Village, the more vulnerable they were in certain ways. He supposed it was also an opportunity, though. He did want things to be built faster, after all, and an influx of villagers could mean a boost to productivity. It was also inevitable, he realized. The villagers who had chosen to come with Richter from Law had left behind friends and family. Those friends and family would have spread the story of a safe haven for non-humans that existed in the Forest of Nadria. Basil told him that this was, in fact, how many of the people he interviewed had heard about the village. Many, in fact, had had friends and relatives among the already existing Mist Villagers. The people Basil interviewed had come from towns neighboring Leaf's Crossing, and more than a few had walked from Law. Richter interjected. "So while you were doing these interviews, the authorities had no problem with having so many non-humans congregating in and around the inn, especially considering why they were there?" Basil's lips twitched in irritated remembrance.
"My lord is most astute. In fact, the authorities did come to the inn the second day. A group of 5 guards wearing Eve livery walked right up to me. I thought I was going to be arrested or beaten at the very least. Then Rosie came up and told the lead guard I was there on your behalf. After that, he smiled at me, and I remember this part quite clearly, my lord. He said, 'I'm sure you didn't mean to flout the king's laws, now did you?'
Richter laughed out loud, having a strong idea of where this story was heading. And you said that you would never do something like that, right?
Of course, my lord.
Well, then the irritating man told me that I had to have the proper permit to conduct interviews like I was doing. Then he told me that he just so happened to have a cousin that could issue the proper documents, and he would be more than happy to take the money for permits to him. Then he added that, of course, there were also the penalties for late registration, the surcharge for expedited processing, the mandatory overtime for his guards to monitor a sanctioned interview, the new tax on...
Richter waved for the irritated trader to stop talking, as his own laughter was threatening to drown Basil out anyway.
The guard's name wasn't Calder, was it?
You know the rogue, my lord.
Richter smiled and just asked, how much did he shake you down for? Basil's expression looked like the man had just swished with vinegar, but he ultimately said,
7 gold and 4 silver, my lord.
The somewhat steep price helped Richter get his chuckling under control. He wasn't too bothered, though, and said, just the cost of doing business, Basil. Now tell me the rest of your story.
Yes, well, my lord. Well, the annoying, smiling man got the money for his quote-unquote permits, and then I got back to the interviews. On the afternoon of my third day there, a tall, muscular man wearing loose-fitting clothing came up to the table. I recognized him by your description as Hafiz's emissary, and he knew that strange passcode you told me.
Excitedly, Richter asked, what did he say?
He said, Rick, my lord.
Even more excited, Richter asked,
and what did you say in response?
Morty, my lord.
Yes! Richter shouted happily. Wubba-lubba-dub-dub!
Everyone around the table stared at him. He waved them off.
Nah, you guys wouldn't get it. Trust me, though, I'm awesome. Continue with your story, Basil.
Basil coughed, totally confused.
Yes, my lord. Well, the emissary from Hafiz was with 3 other men who were obviously his brothers. I paused the interviews and retired back to the secure room Rosie had prepared for the meeting. The men Hafiz had sent were actually his sons, and I am happy to report that they acted honorably. I am even more delighted to tell you that the price was even better than expected. The nobles of Eve are apparently very interested in increasing the level of their warriors. Each vial sold for 3 gold, 1 silver, and 7 coppers.
Richter started doing some fast math in his head.
So, for the 200 potions of clarity I gave you, we made 634 gold, my lord.
Richter gave a whoop and stood up with his hand raised. Basil looked at him and then looked at the hand as if he was unsure if Richter was about to strike him. Richter laughed and pulled the man to his feet. Then he had Basil extend his arm with his hand flat. Richter gave him a resounding high five and said, "Fuck yeah, man! Make that cheddar!" Basil sat back down with an amused smile, apparently liking the show of exuberance.
Fuck yeah, indeed, my lord. I did not buy any cheese, however.
Richter laughed again and told him,
"That's okay. So what happened with all the people you interviewed? Are they waiting in Leaf's Crossing for my decision?"
Basil opened his mouth and then closed it again before speaking.
Well, my lord, that is an interesting part of the story.
Here comes the other shoe, Richter thought.
Well, after the initial trade with Hafiz's sons, I also gave them the list of items we needed that I had not been able to find in Leaf's Crossing. They told me their father was eager to continue the trade relationship. They had even anticipated some of our requests and had brought food and livestock to sell. They were also quite clear that their father Hafiz would take more potions of clarity as quickly as possible, but there was a complication. They had sailed to Leaf's Crossing from Eve, but before they had left, there were rumors that a count that was close to the king had noticed that some non-humans were attempting to escape the kingdom. They had also heard that a military force was going to be sent to curtail this. They didn't know if the soldiers would come over land or by boat, but they had recommended that I leave as soon as possible. So you see, my lord, I had a dilemma.
Richter looked back at him.
I'm guessing the solution to that dilemma has something to do with those ships in the harbor.
Basil let out a heavy sigh.
Yes, my lord. You empowered me to make decisions on behalf of the village. I know that we need more people, so I just asked myself, what would you do?
I could have left them all there to the mercies of the Eve military, but I decided to bring them with me.
So the, I guess we will call them refugees, are all on the ships? The rest of the people Richter had sent Futin to fetch had joined the table while Basil was talking. Futin now floated in the center of the table, casting his light on everyone. Roswan, the elf who led the building crew, spoke up.
Well, we were already making a second longhouse. When the ships showed up, I had all the other projects stopped so we could finish it faster. Most of them are in the second longhouse now. Some are still on the ships.
That's good work, Roswan, Richter said, nodding in appreciation. was the only response Richter got from the mustached elf.
We also unloaded the supplies and animals that Hafiz's son brought with them, Basil said. I paid them a fair price for it all. They agreed to wait for you to return before leaving because they would like to meet with you, my lord.
Richter looked at Basil for a long moment, but ultimately nodded. I agree with your decision, and you're right, I do need more people. Let's just not make a habit of increasing the population of the village by more than 50% in one day, okay?
Basil gave a relieved laugh.
I will restrain myself in the future, my lord.
So, we have another 163 new villagers? Richter asked.
Basil opened and closed his mouth again.
Richter nailed him to his seat with his gaze, wondering what was coming next.
Well, my lord, while I was doing the interviews, a few more people came to town as well,
Basil said innocently.
How many more? Richter asked impatiently.
Just 82, my lord.
Just 82?
Richter repeated with heat in his voice.
Plus the two scribes.
The scribes agreed to come? Richter asked, somewhat surprised. It sounded like they were already doing okay in Leaf's Crossing. He knew Basil had thrown that in to soften the shock of an extra 82 people he hadn't told Richter about yet, but it did sound like the scribes would be quite a boon to the village.
Well, I did have to pay off that debt to the guild, the White Quill.
Debt? Richter said, his voice rising. What debt?
He was getting actually irritated now. Basil's story seemed to be yo-yoing between great news and expensive realizations. Richter would have much preferred to just eat all of his veggies at once and then focus on the pudding. Nobody wanted to eat spinach after they had had chocolate cake.
Alma had been resting on the table in front of him, but she rose up on her haunches at feeling her master's consternation. The dragonling stared at Basil, who regarded her warily.
Well, for the training, they had to follow their guild's orders until they paid back a certain amount. I can promise you, though, my lord, that you can't put a price on their kind of expertise,
Basil assured him. Well, you better put a fucking price on it, Richter said, rising from his chair. How much? He asked again, definitely louder this time. And I hope you didn't agree to pay all of these new villagers the same wage that I agreed to pay our current villagers. I'm not made of money, you know.
Alma's wings unfurled and she hissed at Basil, who was definitely starting to look a bit fearful. Richter kept his hand on her back so she didn't actually attack the man.
Randolphus came to the beleaguered trader's aid. That was good, because everyone else around the table was just looking at Basil with expressions that said, "Sucks to be you, man."
I promise you, the scribes were well worth the initial price, my lord,
the chamberlain stated. They also agreed to provide the services as much as we needed for only 6 silvers per month. As for everyone else that was brought back with Basil, they are here to work for their keep. They understand that no payment has been promised to them. I have a detailed list of all expenditures for your perusal, my lord, if you would like to view it later.
Richter looked back and forth between Basil and Randolphus. He knew he was being managed, but he also knew his inner thriftiness had reared its ugly head for a second. He took his seat again and said in a measured voice, "So, we have 245 new villagers plus 2 scribes. You also had to pay a reasonable amount for the scribes to come. Is there anything else?" Richter stared intensely at Basil.
"Well..."
"Spit it out, Basil."
"Yes, my lord. Calder told me that since the new king took power in Eve, the guards' salaries had only been paid sporadically. When he saw that I was willing to pay off the scribe's debt, he approached me saying that he was willing to relocate for the right price. Other guards were as well. Ultimately, 18 guards offered to come. I believed we could use the extra help in defense.
So another 18 people? Richter asked. And if you say, well, one more fucking time, I will let Alma attack you. Basil's mouth snapped shut to keep himself from doing just that. He stared at the dragonling whose tail was swishing back and forth as she stared back at him.
Yes, my lord. Several of the guards had small families that have agreed to come. I also brought the food and animals from Leaf's Crossing.
How much food and how many animals?
Everything I could buy within a day, my lord.
Well, between the people and the livestock, that easily explained the extra ships, Richter thought. Basil would have needed more transport capacity. The extra guards, I agree with. Defense is definitely a priority. He looked at Randolphus. How much am I paying everyone per month now? Randolphus had the answer prepared.
The original complement of the village was 290 yourself, and Sprite Sion included. Of that number, 73 were children, 16 were elders, too old to contribute, and another 18 men and women did not actively work for various reasons. That left 179 workers. 21 villagers were lost in the bugbear attack, 18 of which were workers, and another was killed when you saved the patrol. That leaves 160 villagers earning a wage. At 4 silvers per fortnight, that amounted to 128 gold each month. Of the 19 workers who died, 12 left behind families. As you instructed, their full year's wages were paid in a lump sum to their loved ones. That amounted to 105 gold and 6 silver. I am assuming you wish for a lump sum to be paid to Hurid's family as well?
Richter nodded and the Chamberlain made a notation. Randolphus consulted another page and then continued.
With this new influx of people, the scribes will cost 12 silvers per month. The guards agreed to work for 4 silvers per month, and 10 had wives or husbands that are also willing to work. If you decide to extend the same terms to the new villagers, which are comprised of 178 workers, the final tally would be 296 gold per month.
Richter's head started to hurt while his chamberlain was talking, and by the end, he was rubbing his hands against both temples. That means that his expenses each year, just for wages, was about 3,552 gold pieces, or, to put it another way, 355,200 bucks. Richter felt a scream building inside of him. All he wanted to do was to become the lord and master of a fledgling country with no infrastructure or industry to speak of. Why did that have to be so expensive? All he could think to say was, "Do we have enough food?"
Randolphus nodded. With the new stores that Basil bought, we can feed our entire populace for 6 months without needing to slaughter our livestock. With what the hunters bring in, that number could be stretched to 9 months. Since the crops have been replanted after the attack, they are growing faster than expected. Some of the air mages have been able to help with that by supplying the perfect amount of rain. If we allocate enough villagers to be farmers, the village should have more than enough food to last through the winter.
Richter put his hand down on the table and started stroking Alma's scales. I am okay with all of this. In the future, though, Basil, Randolphus is going to lay down some strict guidelines for what you are and are not authorized to do. Understood?
Yes, my lord,
Randolphus said.
Yes, my lord,
Basil said. Okay, then. What else do I need to know?
Well, I want to know what happened to you after you left on the Okami, Sion shouted.
I heard what you did on my behalf, my friend, Richter said with a smile.
Thank you.
That reminds me, though, I think this belongs to you. Richter handed back the bracelet of health, which Sion took graciously. Then Richter gave everyone an abbreviated version of the events since chasing after Tirad. They cheered after hearing of his victory over Sonore and Orvin. Sion exclaimed in understanding when he heard that it had been a rock giant that had chased him through the forest afterwards. Everyone got quiet when they heard how he had been trapped in the Kobold's Warren. They all knew full well how dangerous those creatures were on their home turf. The Kobold's penchant for deadly traps was famous. More cheers went around when he told everyone how he had led the Kobolds into a trap of his own, however. Sumiko smiled at hearing how Richter praised her people. Richter's mood turned sober as he discussed the fight to save the patrol from the bugbears. He turned to Tirad. I'm extremely grateful for how you have organized our people. I believe they need stricter guidelines and discipline. I can do this myself, but I heard one of the patrol call you captain. Is that a role you're comfortable taking on? Will you assume responsibility for the safety of our people? Tirad looked at Richter gravely and did not speak for a long moment. Then he got up and walked over to his companion, who stood to meet him. Once he was standing in front of Richter, he bent the knee.
I had planned to do this later, but now is just as good. You have stood by me and have saved my precious Isabella twice. Once from Count Stonek, and once from her own hand. I am with you, my lord. I formally swear allegiance and loyalty to you, my lord Richter. From now until my very death, I will protect you and your interests to the best of my ability and without deceit.
Richter reached out his hand and rested it upon his companion's shoulder. I accept your oath of fealty, and swear to honor your pledge with the same gravity in which it was given. As he helped Tirad to his feet, a prompt filled his vision. Congratulations, you have uncovered another job of your village. You have filled the position of Captain of the Guard. Your village will benefit proportionally to the skill of whomever you have chosen. Your companion Tirad is granted the skill War Leader. His highest martial skill is still the rank of Novice. The attack and defense of all villagers within the boundaries of the village is 3% more effective. Your choice has a special ability, Camaraderie. This ability will make your choice highly effective in training and motivating your people. Attack and defense bonus increased by another 5% to a total of 8%. Fighting spirit within the boundaries of the Mist Village, plus 80.
Thank you, my lord, Tirad said in a shocked voice. Only the higher echelons of the Eve army have this skill.
You deserve it, my friend. Use it well. Richter looked around at the table of villager leaders and said,
Everyone welcome the new Captain of the Guard!
The entire table got to its feet and clapped for Tirad. As he walked back to his seat, Crom slapped him on the back. Tirad stumbled but chuckled as he retook his seat. With that over, Richter felt better about the entire affair of saving the patrol. He had no doubt Tirad would be instilling some serious discipline into his people ASAP. Sion leaned forward and got the discussion back on track.
One thing I don't understand is how the assassin fooled your analyze skill, or Zar's spell.
I still don't know, Richter said with some bitterness as he remembered what the woman had taken from him. Zar hung his head in shame. The dwarf spoke up and began to apologize profusely. Richter didn't blame him for what had happened, though, and expressed that. Too much had occurred since, and what they needed now were answers, not recriminations.
I believe I can answer that, Basil said. I have heard that professed rogues can have a hidden identity talent. It hides their true name and information from skills like analyze.
Did you know about this? Richter asked Randolphus. The Chamberlain took a moment before answering.
I have heard of this talent, my lord. If your analyze skill were higher, you might have pierced her protection, depending on how heavily the assassin had invested in the talent.
Then how can we know that there aren't more killers in the group that just came in? Richter asked in consternation.
For every problem, there is a solution, Master Richter, Sumiko said. At your Chamberlain's request, I have spent the last several days interviewing everyone that has come on the ships, and everyone already here. With each I cast Soul's Window. It is an adept-level spell that allows me to discover nearly any subterfuge. While it is not foolproof, it would take much more than a rogue's talent to defeat it. As far as I could tell, everyone here has come for honest reasons.
Maybe we should have you do the same thing with all of the existing villagers, Sumiko, Sion said.
Richter nodded. I don't want our people to feel like I don't trust them. But maybe if we explained that this is being done for the safety of the village as a whole, they would be okay with it. Sumiko, are you willing to help?
Of course, Lord Richter. I would still need to know which questions to ask, however. The spell makes people answer honestly any question posed, and also lets me sense any ill intent. But the more concise the questions, the better.
I can help with forming those questions, my lord, Randolphus said. I have already worked with Lady Sumiko in the first round of interviews. Very good, then, Richter said. To be clear, everyone at this table will be included as well. In fact, we will go first as an example to the other villagers. I trust no one has a problem with that. A round of agreements circled the table, though not everyone looked happy. Richter took that with a grain of salt, but he did feel a bit better. Okay, then. I think we are all up to speed about what has happened. Now I need to tell you what is about to happen. He addressed Shiovanna first and made clear that he needed the ship completed as soon as possible, but that he also needed it to have offensive and defensive capabilities. She tried to flirt like she had in the past, but Richter held up his hand to stop her. The recent events in his life had shown him the importance of a proactive defense. His primary goal was to make the village both safe and prosperous, and he wouldn't allow anything to distract from that, including getting involved with any of his villagers in the near future. He communicated that clearly with a few sentences. She nodded with a serious expression and just told Richter that she would need more jewels, materials, and smiths to make mountable weapons for the boat. Richter told Randolphus to allocate what she needed and Crom to start making what she requested. Then he asked her to get back to work. The shipbuilder left the room. Next, he spoke to Sumiko. I have advanced in my life magic skill. I know I have much farther I have to go before I reach your level, but are there any more spells that you can teach me?
That I can do, she said with a smile. It will cost you, however. I have spent time in the human lands, and I know how much spells sell for. As you are the ally of the Wood Sprites, I will only charge you half. What level are you exactly now, and what spells do you already know?
Richter checked his status page quickly and told her his spells and that he was level 7.
I know 3 other spells I can teach you. 2 are level 6 and will cost you 3 gold each. The 3rd is level 4 and will cost you 2 gold.
What the hell? He exclaimed in surprise. I thought all you sprites were just about peace and harmony. She smiled wolfishly.
Like I said, I have lived among humans. I must have been corrupted. Besides, I have the feeling that trade is about to come to the forest, and having hard currency will most likely be useful.
Richter grumbled, but took the money from his bag. Another $800 gone in a blink. If that was the family deal, then he wasn't surprised that teaching his people magic for free had been such a shock. Most people only earned the equivalent of $80 per month if they were lucky. Richter had given them the equivalent of a year's wages when he awakened their power and taught them spells. I definitely see the relation between you and Fumiko now. She says hello, by the way, and to tell you that she's doing well. Sumiko smiled at the mention of her sister.
That's nice. Do you wish to know what the spells are first?
He shook his head. Knowledge is power. I'll take them. The older sprite took the coins, then made a show of counting them with a wink before making them disappear into her robes. Then she placed one hand on Richter's head and another on his heart. His breath sucked in, his pupils widened, and he knew. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Banish Undead. If successful, you will dissipate the energy allowing a death creature to exist in this plane. This is a spell of life, level 3. Cost 40 mana. Duration, instant. Range, 40 feet. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 5 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Stabilize. If a target is stricken with a bleeding status, this spell will decrease the rate of bleeding and total bleeding time. Effects will vary based on extent of the injuries. This is a spell of life, level 3. Cost 27 mana. Duration, instant. Range, touch. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 1 minute. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Weak Life Bolt. Fire a bolt of concentrated life energy. Damage 5 to 10. Increase damage against death creatures. This is a spell of life, level 4. Cost 22 mana. Duration, instant. Range, 30 feet. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 2 minutes. Richter smiled. It was good to finally have another offensive spell. It wasn't the strongest, but if he ran up against any more fades, he was sure it would come in handy. He walked over to where Zar and Quasia were sitting. I don't suppose y'all would give me a discount, too? Quasia stood and faced him. Then she patted him on the cheek and said,
You're so pretty.
Richter rolled his eyes and chuckled. Okay. I'm level 6 in earth magic and level 8 in dark magic. What do you have for me? Zar knew 2 spells that fit Richter's spell level, and Quasia knew another 3. 18 gold pieces later, Richter had his new spells. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Summon Weak Saproling. Summons a level 5 forest elemental to do your bidding. This is a spell of earth, level 6. Cost 39 mana. Duration, 5 minutes. Range, 5 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 1 hour. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Acid Sphere. Creates a ball of acid that can be thrown at your target. Damage, 4 to 6 per second. This is a spell of earth, level 5. Cost, 22 mana. Duration, 10 seconds. Range, throwing range of caster. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, not applicable. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Flood of Darkness. Blankets an area 25 yards around you in darkness. Effect banished by direct sunlight. Blocks out all light-based sight. This is a spell of dark, level 3. Cost 46 mana. Duration, 1 minute. Range, self. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 45 minutes. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Weak Dark Bolts. Fires a bolt of concentrated dark energy at your target. For every 3 skill levels the caster has in dark magic, the spell will fire another bolt, max 10. Damage 7 to 9. This is a spell of dark, level 4. Cost 31 mana. Duration, instant. Range, 40 feet. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 30 minutes. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Dark Vision. Provides dark vision for 25 yards. This is a spell of dark, level 2. Cost, 43 mana. Duration, 20 minutes. Range, self. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 5 minutes. Richter couldn't wait to try his new spells, but there was still work to be done. He walked back to the head of the table. This was the time for the announcement that he knew some people might have a problem with. Everyone in the village is about to be given a choice, to swear fealty or not. Quasia and Zar both opened their mouths, but he held up a hand to forestall them. Any who do not wish to do so will be able to live here for the rest of their year. They will receive the same treatment as before and the same pay. At the end of that year, we will reevaluate their place in the village. I'm going to repeat this to the entire village, but I want to make clear that no punitive measures will be taken against those who do not wish to bend the knee. I also want to make clear, however, that only those who swear fealty will be able to take advantage of the special benefits of living here. Namely, weapons and armor from the Forge of Heavens, fruit from the Quickening, my ability to awaken dormant power, and any other special resources that may become available. Everyone was quiet for a moment. Zar broke the stillness.
What would you want in return?
The dwarf mage asked. You will follow my commands and the commands of those I appoint to carry out my will. For my advanced magic users, I have asked you to teach others the ways of your magic, but now it will be a formal task. I plan to build a school. The two of you will be teachers. You will be required to pass on for free your weakest spell to anyone with the aptitude, so that people can practice and build their skill level. Any further spells you wish to impart, I will leave to you to sell or teach as you wish, but 20% of the cost will be paid to the village coffers. Lastly, and this applies to everyone, you will fight to protect this village and its people if necessary. Silence reigned in across the table until Quasia spoke.
Can we have some time to think about it?
Richter nodded. Of course. The same terms apply to everyone at this table, barring Sion and Sumiko, who are our allies and guests. You may take all the time you need. I plan to make the Mist Village into a force of positive change in the land. I'm not naive enough to believe that my goals can be accomplished without power, however, so I plan to do what is necessary to get it. I make you all the same promise I will make to the villagers, that anyone that bends the knee before me will then rise in power as I do. With that short speech done, Richter took his seat at the head of the table. He looked out at the men and women before him. Mages, fighters, builders, and companions, they were all people of worth and power. Each was different, but they had one thing in common. They all waited silently and expectantly for his next words. Chapter 23,
Day 101. Keralt 20. 15,368 EBG. The group spoke for the next 2 hours as Richter outlined what he wanted done. He told them that construction needed to increase dramatically. This should no longer be a problem with the influx of villagers. Randolphus said he would allocate the new villagers to the appropriate job. Richter also wanted to increase the defenses of the village, and he thanked Tirad for already having started the process by establishing a guard. The third item he addressed rendered everyone quiet. He took the magic core from his bag and placed it on the table. I know you wanted me to keep this quiet, Randy, but this is a group that I trust. I need to know what I'm doing with this. Right now, I'm leaning towards making a philosopher's cauldron, but Bayan is the most accomplished alchemist in the village. To be frank, I think he's an asshole, and I'm hesitant to put a legendary object in his hands. Do y'all have any ideas? Crom spoke up.
I do agree that there be something about that little man that I do not trust, your lordship.
Well, my lord, his chamberlain added, there is an elf woman quite proficient at alchemy, a journeyman, I believe, and also an apprentice in herblaw. Her name is Tabia.
I need to meet with her ASAP, Richter said.
Everyone looked at him strangely, rolling his eyes.
I need to meet with her as soon as possible.
Randolphus nodded and made a notation. When it was clear that no other suggestions were forthcoming, he asked Crom about his progress with learning enchantments.
I have learned how to impart freeze damage to weapons, Crom said proudly. I have not been able to make many, however, because of a lack of soul gems and powdered crystal.
Richter smiled. After tonight, I don't think the soul gems will be an issue. As for the crystal... Richter started reaching into his bag and removed the large shards of crystal he had stolen. At first, everyone just looked at him in confusion, but that quickly shifted to awe as he piled more and more of the precious resource onto the table. He stopped after a while, and despite there being a great deal more in his bag, he knew that his point had been carried across. Even Randolphus was taken aback.
Where did you find all of this, my lord?
Let's just say you now know why the kobolds are so irritated with me. I have a lot more crystal in my bag, and I want anyone with the alchemy skill to start preparing it. Sion, can you take charge of that?
His companion nodded excitedly.
Richter could see the sprite was already imagining the potions he could make.
Excellent. Now hold on to your butts, because if you liked seeing all that crystal, you'll love this.
Richter pulled out the focus crystal.
Fuck my life! Even the hearth tree does not have access to an item such as this, Sion exclaimed.
That expression doesn't totally work here, my friend, but I agree. It's exciting. I need to plant it underground somewhere. If worse comes to worse, I can plant it in one of the rooms of the Great Seal, but looking long-term, the crystal garden could easily overgrow the small spaces we have here. Ideally, we can find a nearby cave that is defensible and plant it there. The crystal I have brought will be placed in the treasury. If you need any, Sion, Tirad, or myself will be able to access it for you.
I don't have access to the treasury, brother, Sion protested.
Tirad echoed him. Richter closed his eyes for a moment, accessing the city interface. When he opened his eyes, he smiled.
You do now. So do you, Tirad.
While Tirad seemed speechless, Sion bowed his head in response to the trust he was being shown.
Thank you, my friend. I also may have the perfect place to plant the crystal.
Somehow, I thought you would be able to help, Richter said. He knew that the sprite's wanderlust would have driven Sion to explore the surrounding countryside.
Richter turned to his smith. Start making enchanted weapons, Crom. You can have access to as much crystal and as many soul gems as you need. I want you to level and become a professed smith as quickly as possible. To that end, Richter reached into his bag and gave Crom 10 potions of clarity. Use these if you ever have the opportunity to get experience.
It will be done, my lord.
Crom looked at the treasured potions his lord had just given him with excitement. Richter looked around at the table.
As I said, fealty has its privileges. Now, Crom, the most important point. I need to convince the dwarves of the Serrated Mountains to fight with us against the bugbears. At the very least, I need a positive relationship with them.
Crom laughed without any real humor.
Then I suggest you bring a chest of gold.
Richter nodded.
Hisako said as much. I can pay, but you told me there are many different tribes and clans. I need to know who is worth dealing with and who is trustworthy. I wouldn't want to pay a bone crusher when I should be working with a redstone, after all. Crom laughed again, but this time with mirth.
No, that be the smartest thing you've ever said, me lord.
How much will we need to pay? Richter asked.
It do be hard to say, your lordship. There do be mercenary companies, 50 to 100 strong. Each dwarf will not be hired for less than 5 coppers a day, maybe more. If that one,
he said, pointing at Basil,
is up for another trip, I can tell him where to go.
Richter looked at Basil, who nodded.
I will leave in the morning, my lord.
Good. Just try not to invite an entire dwarf clan to join us this time, Richter said wryly. He reached into his bag for a slip of paper. Handing it to Crom, he asked, Can you build this? Crom looked at the drawing, then turned it 90 degrees left, then 180 degrees right. He glanced back at Richter with confusion.
That shouldn't be too difficult, but what does it do?
Oh, Richter said with a smile, you'll be happy you made it. Just make sure it's pure copper. Randolphus will give you access to the copper that was found in the mine. They talked about a few more sundry items. Then Richter dismissed everyone. Randolphus said there were more minor items he needed to report, but Richter waved him off. He needed to rest before tonight. Richter told the Chamberlain to gather all of the old and new villagers in front of the quickening at sundown and then dismissed everyone. They all filed out to take care of their various tasks. The last thing that Richter did was to give Randolphus the roll of sodden papers he had retrieved from Sonore's corpse. The Chamberlain didn't look hopeful, but he said he would try to recover any information that he could. When he was alone, Richter pulled out the items he had taken from the Bugbear Ranger, as well as from the kobold hidden compartment. After a short command, Futin flared white and identified all of the items. You have found Ebonwood Bow of Sundering. Damage, 13 to 18. Durability, 48 to 51. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 3.3 kilograms. Traits. Arrows shot from this bow do double damage to the durability of any armor they impact. You have found Steel Dagger of the Beast Slayer. Damage 8 to 10. Durability 29 of 32. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 1.2 kilograms. Traits plus 11% versus animals. Both of the weapons were respectable, but still not better than what he already had. Both magical qualities could be helpful to his people, though, if Crom could successfully deconstruct them. He turned his attention to the items he had taken from the Cobalt Warren. You have found Book of Weak Rending Talons. Durability 4 of 5. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.4 kilograms. Traits. Summons invisible claws to attack all targets within AoE. This is a spell of earth, level 4. You have found Book of Weak Sonic Wail. Durability 6 of 6. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.5 kilograms. Traits. All within AoE suffer damage and risk being deafened. This is a spell of earth, level 6. You have found Book of Weak Paralysis Beam. Durability 7 of 7. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.4 kilograms. Traits. Fires a beam at your target and can cause paralysis for 4 seconds. This is a spell of earth, level 5. You have found Book of Weak Aura Lance. Durability 8 of 10. Item class scarce. Quality above average. Weight 0.3 kilograms. Traits. Fires a beam of spiritual energy at your target. Does no physical damage, but causes disruption of the target's aura. Reduces resistance to all spell types. This is a spell of spirit, level 1. You have found Stasis Box. Durability 195 of 199. Item class, rare. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 4.1 kilograms. Traits, anything placed in this box will be protected from entropy until it is opened. You have found Steel Short Sword of Gnome Slaying. Damage 10 to 11. Durability, 62 of 66. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 1.2 kilograms. Traits, plus 14% damage against gnomes. Richter's mouth began to salivate when he saw the spells that the books contained. Direct damage with an AoE, paralysis, and a spell that lowered all resistances? And the last one was a spell of spirit magic. He put the other items aside and immediately learned each of the new spells. Congratulations! You have learned weak-rending talons. Summons invisible claws to attack all targets within 10-foot AoE. This is a spell of earth, level 4. Cost 52 mana. Duration, 8 seconds. Range, 60 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 10 minutes. Congratulations! You have learned weak sonic wail. You can make a sound attack with your voice. All within cone-shaped AoE suffer damage and risk being deafened. This is a spell of earth, level 6. Cost 27 mana. Duration, 3 seconds. Range, 20 feet. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 1 minute. Congratulations, you have learned weak paralysis beam. Fires a beam that will lock up to a level 7 target's body into position. This is a spell of earth, level 5. Cost 39 mana. Duration, 4 seconds. Range, 25 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 6 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned weak aura lance. Fires a blast of spiritual energy at your target. Does no physical damage, but causes disruption of the target's aura. Reduces resistance to all spell types. This is a spell of spirit, level 1. Cost 168 mana. Duration, 1 hour. Range, 100 feet. Cast time, 10 seconds. Cooldown, 1 day. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Spirit Magic. Great spirits have always encountered opposition from mediocre minds. The path of Spirit Mage is not for the weak-willed. Though the power may be intoxicating, a true master of spirit will have the greatest understanding of himself, and through that, an unstoppable power over the world. Know this, you have learned your first deeper magic. The path to power is never without cost. Beware using your power without thought. There could be consequences to such reckless pursuit of your goals. Each book fell to ash as the knowledge imprinted into Richter's mind. New magic pathways were now open to him and begging to be used. Weak aura lance was especially interesting. He wasn't sure what the real difference was between deeper magic and the basic elements, but the warning the universe had given him after learning it was a bit disconcerting. Nonetheless, he was excited to use his new magic. He examined the next item. A sword of gnome slaying made sense, seeing as how kobolds and gnomes seemed to be racial enemies. Richter was pretty sure that he wouldn't want to be seen walking around with it, though. He slipped it back into his bag until he could unload it in the treasury. Now the stasis box was interesting. Richter remembered that the inside of the hidden compartment had been covered in dust, but the wooden surface of the item had gleamed as if it had been freshly burnished. It was about the size of a carton of milk and was made of a buttery yellow wood with large red veins tracing through it. There didn't seem to be any break in the wood to show where it opened. The only thing marring the surface was a slight depression in the middle of one of the long faces. It looked like three capital letter S's written atop one another, but each was slightly offset from the others. Richter pressed on it, but nothing happened. Seeing no other way to get into the box, he just put it back in his bag. If he had to, he could just hit it with a hammer later to see what was inside. He pulled out the last item he had taken from the hidden compartment, the stonewood chest. He started examining it closely. 10 different areas lit up red around the rim as he inspected. Richter sighed, happy that he hadn't opened it before, but irritated over how long it was going to take to disarm these traps. He drew 2 lockpicks and got to work. Hours passed, but finally, the last trap was disabled. Futin hadn't been able to detect any wards, so when all of the red had faded, Richter opened the chest. What was inside was well worth the effort he had gone through. Gleaming silver coins shone in his gaze, like moonlight in a midnight sea. He dipped a hand into the chest and scooped up a large amount of coins before letting them fall back down into the chest with a tinkling sound. The coins were octagonal rather than round like the coins he had